Welcome back in. Final hour of Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Elijah Campbell here with you on this Friday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. Looking ahead to the matchup for the Tennessee Vols later this afternoon at Bridgestone Arena against the Florida Gators. And to help us talk more about that, we go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in Mike Wilson from the Knoxville News Sentinel. Mike, what's going on, man? How we doing?
Doing well. Thank you guys for having me on this morning. And as I believe Joe said, in the best time zone that there is.
So that's right.
Glad to be here.
Great time zone here in the Central Time Zone for sure. Mike, I want to start simply with the matchup for the Vols against Florida. Obviously, some good success for the Vols against Florida this time a week ago. An undermanned Gators team at that time. Now a healthier Gators team. What do you think of this matchup for Tennessee against Florida today in the SEC tournament?
Yeah, it's certainly tougher for Tennessee with Trey Mann being back. I mean, he was so terrific yesterday against Vanderbilt and has been throughout the season. That changes a lot, I think, when it comes to this matchup. But really everything to me with Tennessee just comes down to which team's going to show up. And all year long, through SEC play at least, it's been a coin flip of if you're going to get good Tennessee or what is this Tennessee. And that's kind of the story going to this one, too. If Tennessee plays like it did for the final 25 minutes Sunday, it probably wins. If it plays like a team that was there for the first 15 minutes Sunday, it's going to lose. And that's just been the unfortunate tale of this team throughout the past couple months.
All right, I just tweeted, this is Tennessee beat writer Mike Wilson presented by Gus's Deli. What do you think?
I accept it. I did clip yesterday that my Mission State degree was sponsored by Crunchy's Buckets. I'll take Gus's Deli for now.
I mean, that's a good one, right? Good one over in Knoxville. Right? I've never actually eaten there.
Elijah's, I haven't either.
You haven't?
I have not. No, it's very much in the busy part of New York campus that I try to avoid because it's just too trafficked and that's not really my scene. I'm too old for that now, Joe. I'm mature.
Yeah, okay. Are you talking into a bottle right now? Like, are you – you're coming through very fuzzy. Can you change that at all?
I have headphones in. I can change that.
Oh, that's better. Is that better? You guys
sure.
Hearing that?
Yeah.
Yeah? All right. Good job, Mike. You deserve your presenting sponsor. Okay, what was the question that Robbie asked you? Okay, let's go to the next question.
God.
Give me your player, Mike, that if you could get the absolute max out of this player, you would choose this player and it gives this team the best chance to have a long march.
Ooh. It's a toss-up for me between Victor Bailey Jr. and John Fulkerson. Victor Bailey Jr. is where I'm going to go, though, because he's the best scorer that this team has. When he's making shots, a lot of things change for this offense. And when he's taking smart shots, a lot of things change for this offense. And he's been doing that kind of through the past five games. I think he had a scoreless outing at LSU on the 13th. And since then, he's been absolutely terrific. And that is where Tennessee needs him to be when he can score and when he's not giving up more points in the defensive end and he's scoring,
yeah.
Which is a key thing here too. He's a guy that can really change a lot for Tennessee just because they do struggle offensively too often. And he's a guy that consistently looks for his shot and lately has been making them in volume.
Mike Wilson from the Knoxville News Sentinel on the line with us, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. And, Mike, you brought up John Fulkerson there, and it's been interesting to watch him this year. And Joe and I have talked about at times there just seems to be not much aggression in his game. I thought he came out, obviously had a really good game against Florida last week on senior day. Where do you think he is right now in terms of the aggression and the mindset that he brings to the floor? And how important is that part of it going to be if Tennessee has any chance to make a deep run here in March?
Oh, it's huge. He had a good game at South Carolina too, but then kind of tailed back off. And I think the key is just finding a way for John Fulkerson to duplicate a good performance because it hasn't been seen. It's been hard to pinpoint really what's going on with him this year. He averaged like 18 points a game for the final 10 last season, and I think he's only scored 18 once this entire year. It's just been such a strange season, but to paraphrase things that Rick Barnes will constantly say, for Tennessee to reach anything near the team that it should be, it's got to get a good version of John Fulkerson on a steady basis. And they haven't had that to this point, which is why they went 10-7 through SEC play. That's why he was right there in my mind with Victor Bailey Jr. is the guys who will kind of dictate what this team's able to do moving forward, because he's so important, both in his ability in the post and everything he does for this team.
Who's the leader of this team, Mike?
Ooh. See, I think it's Josiah Jordan-James, and I think it has to be. I also think he has to be more vocal and maybe combative at points. I don't know that this team has... You look back at those really good Tennessee teams 2 to 3 years ago, and they had so many alpha dudes like Admiral Schofield, Lamonte Turner. I mean, just dudes you don't want to mess with. And if you're on the wrong side of, they're going to come at you for it. I don't think this Tennessee team has one of those, which is something I've wondered if they've needed at points. And I think it's been clear they have. But it's just Cy Jordan James' team. I mean, he is the most respected dude on that team, and I think he's the definite leader.
Mike, we've seen this team at times this year be probably what we'd all classify as elite defensively, especially early on in the season. And I think we've seen flashes of it since then, including in the second half last week against Florida. Where's your confidence level that they can get back to that more consistently as they move forward here? I mean, that's been the big issue, obviously, is consistency with this team. But defensively, it feels like they still have the capability of being an elite team in that area.
Yeah, and statistically they are. I think they're still ranked top five in KenPom's defensive efficiency for the whole season. And even with some of those maybe downturns they've had at points and how they've guarded, but that's how this team has to win. I mean, that's their calling card. That's what they've got to do to win, because the offense has been so up and down. And I think the key for that too is there's been so many points where shots aren't falling and there's not as good defense resulting on the other end. And I mean, Tennessee has to marry the way it plays on both ends of the court to be successful, because so much of its success on offense is predicated on its success on defense, which is why they were so good against Florida in that second half. I mean, they were a bad 3-point shooting team in that game. I think they made 3 out of 20 something attempts, but they scored really easily because they played great defense and got out and scored off that. So that's everything to this team. And you'd like to think they could put another game together, especially since they're facing the same team for the second straight time. But, again, so much of what this team is a coin flip, it feels like.
Well, and then you throw in Trey Mann, who can get wherever he wants, mm-hmm. you know. And that's another thing. It's like Vescovi, for example. Like, I feel like, first of all, he's gotten way better this year defensively. Like, you know, he's solid. He's sound. He's very good positionally. He understands the game. He's a great team defender. But there are guys who just can beat him, you know, like when they had Jordan Bone, who maybe wasn't one of the alphas of that team you talked about, but was a really important part on both ends. You know, you can stop the point guard, the quick point guard that maybe, you know, gets Vescovi in trouble. What about him and his role in this team and in this run, if there's a run to be had?
Yeah, that's funny, because I talked about him for a good bit yesterday with a friend, and he isn't a good on-ball defender, as you're saying, but he's so good at understanding angles and passing lanes and all the little crafty things. So he is effective, but he still falls a little bit in that Victor Bailey Jr. camp of needs to score more points than he's allowing. And Trey Mann is a dangerous person in that respect. I mean, I assume that Tennessee will throw Jaden Springer and Keon Johnson largely at Trey Mann today, because those are the better two on-ball defenders they have at guard, obviously. But Santi is important. He's got to make good decisions in transition, hit three-pointers, because he's probably the second-best three-point shooter on this team behind Bailey. I mean, those are just a couple of simple little roles he's had. But he's had a quiet year. I think just people haven't latched on the same way, because last year, you know, he comes in midseason, makes a flurry of three-pointers in every game, bites his arm all the time, and people are going crazy for Santiago Vescovi, but he's taken a back seat. But there's still an importance to his shooting and his decisions in transition that matter a lot for Tennessee.
Well, I'm glad you finally brought up the two most talented players on the team, who I feel are going to both have to be really good. And to me, like, I guess if I could pick one thing for both, I would say Keon Johnson, just be a little bit less loose with the ball. I mean, I mm-hmm. love when he attacks. And Jaden Springer, shoot the three, right? I mean, he's the best three-point shooter on the team, but I feel like he looks to be chased off the line sometimes versus go ahead and take that 43% or whatever he's shooting, three-point shot, and utilize that. So I want to ask you about that and just what you see from those guys. And are you just assuming, you know, both guys are in the NBA next year?
A lot of questions there, Joseph.
I'm packing them in, Michael.
That's now I understand what it's like being a coach when I ask a three-part question and have no idea what to say first.
You do that a lot, too, by the way.
Yeah. What is this? Absolutely correct on Keon Johnson. He's just been too loose with turnovers lately. Had a really heavy string of them late in SEC play. Cleaned it up a little bit lately. And the Jaden Springer three-point shooting thing is really interesting because he doesn't take a lot of them, but he makes them. But yeah, you're right. He's so much more interested in pump faking you, stepping in, taking an elbow jumper, or stepping into the elbow, passing into the paint. I mean, those are the things he ends up doing a lot. But I want to see both of them score and make good decisions offensively because I think you know you're going to get capable defense from both. But the reason I haven't brought them up to this point is of all the players on this team, it seems like those are the two that you kind of know what you're going to get game in and game out. I think you throw Josiah James into that mix too, Eve Pons at points, but the two freshmen are the ones that you feel like, all right, you're probably going to get about 15 points a pop from each, probably a little bit more from one. You're going to get probably 10 assists, 10 rebounds between the two of them. I mean, you actually have an understanding of production from them, and that's something the rest of the team hasn't had. But they've got to continue to be those players because this team is really good when those two are running the offense in transition and making it happen. They're also really good when Keon Johnson is playing the 3-4, kind of switching off with Josiah Jordan James. That's a really effective lineup for them. As for the NBA, we'll get there now. I assume both are gone. I think there's a slimmest of slim possibilities that Keon Johnson could be roped into improving his offensive game because that obviously is something that has a long way to go for him. I think Jaden Springer is much more polished in terms of a pro prospect. He's not going to wow you and be a lottery pick, but I think he's just such a solid, capable player on both ends of the court that he's probably 100% gone. And Keon Johnson's got to be like 98%, right? I mean, just the athleticism, the lottery pick element, but let's also be fair, he's probably a lottery pick if he goes in a year as well, if he comes back to work on his offense.
Yeah, I'm drafting him before I'm drafting Jaden Springer, but I hear what you're saying. He's definitely more polished. By the way, Springer, shoot the three. Pons, don't shoot the three. Go by that rule, and this team has a chance.
Pons, get to the hoop and get to the free throw line eight times a game.
Oh, please.
That's the answer for Eve Pons, too. It's so funny that we're this late in the season talking about Tennessee basketball, and it's so many little things that seem so obvious that have to change. I mean, Jaden Springer taking three-pointers more. Eve Pons, get to the rim because you are the most athletic person on the court every time Keon Johnson's not on it. Like that's just the reality of what this team can do, and we're still talking about such little details that should have been sorted out seemingly a long time ago.
Mike Wilson from the Knoxville News Sentinel has been our guest here on Robbie and Retro. Mike, appreciate you taking time to join us today.
Absolutely. Glad to join.
Absolutely. Mike Wilson from the Knoxville News Sentinel, and we'll continue this discussion when we come back, looking ahead to Tennessee's matchup today against the Florida Gators. We'll do that next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.